Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And don't forget, today is the deadline for our latest Brian Lehrer Show photography challenge. We are asking you by the end of today to submit photos on the theme Change for the Better, Change for the Worse. Change for the better, change for the worse. You can depict either or both as you see it around you. We're getting great entries, and we will make a slideshow of many of your submissions to be shown at a photography event at McCarran Park in Williamsburg called the Slide Luck Pot Show, and we're collaborating with them. So get your photos in today, and they may be up on a 30-foot screen at McCarran Park later this summer. Again, your photo should be on the theme Change for the Better, Change for the Worse. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to see everybody else's images and to upload your own. Deadline is today. So how much junk mail do you get? U.S. junk mail accounts for a staggering 30% of all the world's mail. Most of us have the knee-jerk reaction, let's get rid of it. But here's the tricky part. Advertising mail is crucial to the U.S. Postal Service, which depends on it for a third of its annual revenue, we're told. This is a point of contention for people on either side of the proposed national Do Not Mail registry. Today we welcome Annabelle Gurwitch back to the studio. She was here last month to talk about her book, Fired. Remember that? We had those great stories of being fired, tales of the canned, canceled, downsized, and dismissed. Well, today she's joining us wearing a different hat as host of Planet Green's environmental reality show, Wasted, and as spokesperson for Forest Ethics on the Do Not Mail registry. And on the phone with us is Jerry Sirasal, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at the Direct Marketing Association, which represents direct marketers who send out a lot of that mail. So, Annabelle, welcome back. Jerry, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hello. Brian. Hi. Hey, Jerry. Thanks for having us here. It's a really important discussion. And as you said, it has dramatic implications. And I think most Americans, I wouldn't be alone in saying that I feel like I'm drowning in junk mail.
In fact, I know that in tonight's episode of your show, you show one household that was mailed 1,400 pounds of catalogs in 1 year, which one of our producers, by the way, informs me is the average weight of a dairy cow. So is this typical? Do most families have a cow's worth of junk mail in their homes?
It's true. You know, actually, I mean, the statistics tell us that it's something like 100 billion pieces of junk mail come out of the United States every year. Now, what it's doing is it's having such a terrible effect, deleterious effect on the environment. When you think about this, the production of junk mail and also getting it around the world produces something like the greenhouse gases of 37 million cars. It also is clogging up our landfills. Not everybody is recycling. Plus, you know, the best way to stop the whole stem is just to stop the flow of it. It's not just about getting them into the recycling, centers.
So this is what you hope that a Do Not Mail registry at the national level would accomplish, because I gather some states already have one.
Right. Well, here's the issue is that, you know, right now your choices, if you want to opt out of getting catalogs in particular, are to register with third-party organizations like CatalogChoice.com. The problem is that they're not all recognized by companies. They're not recognizing these lists. And so we feel we need legislation, not unlike the Do Not Call legislation.
So, Jerry, I see on the Direct Marketing Association's website,
yes,
it says, mail moves America, and it says, direct mail is not trees. It is printed communication. Is it not printed communication on stuff that comes from trees?
Oh, clearly it's printed on paper, but paper is a renewable resource, and there are 1.7 million trees planted every day because trees are viewed for paper production are like a crop, like corn or wheat, and you grow it again. And it's also the fact that direct mails, there are alternatives. What happens, everything we do has an environmental impact. What else is there? What's the alternative if you don't reach someone via the mail? If every family just stopped two trips to the mall, it's 3.3 billion miles, 3 billion pounds of CO2, and a savings of, in today's gas world, prices, $650 million. And so that's really important to take a look at the entire balance of what happens. You have, you know, additional sales.
You mean shop less, but don't take away my catalogs?
No, not necessarily shop less. If you took away the catalog, if you took away direct mail, people are going to still purchase things. They're going to go in different directions. They're going to do other things. And we don't know the full environmental impact of you have to look at a whole balance of going on the mm-hmm. Internet. You have a billion PCs. 100 million of them are going to be replaced this year. Most of them going to be ending up in the landfill with all their toxic stuff.
So let me throw some of this.
Balance.
I hear you. So let me throw this to Annabelle. Annabelle, on the forestry as a renewable resource, if these paper companies are involved in commercial forestry,
right,
then they don't want to deplete the forests. They use good forestry practices, they say, that reaps what they sow and keeps planting and keeps reaping. Do you actually see the world's forests being diminished because of American junk mail?
Yes, I do. And the thing is, what I think Jerry made some very good points that I really want to address first, which is actually we hope, and this is what we strive to do in Wasted, is that people will look at all their habits. I mean, junk mail is just one issue. You know, on the show Wasted, we try to get people to find sustainable ways of living, changing their habits, carpooling. So, yes, we want them to actually drive together or make less trips to the mall. So we don't look at junk mail as the only scourge on the environment. However, when you think about the 100 million trees that are lost every year making this kind of mail, and it's not always being used. For instance, you know what I got in the mail last month? My 10-year-old got an invitation from Hugh Hefner to join the Playboy Club. I'm not allowing him, Barry. I don't think he's ready yet. I mean, it's this kind of unwanted mail. Now, the truth is, you don't have to opt out. If you want to continue receiving catalogs with this registry, you can do that. If you want to get coupons and the kind of things that I personally don't use, or you can still get them. We don't want to take that away from them. However, we do hope, I mean, I think that we look at this sort of like farm subsidies and ethanol. Sometimes we find that industries at this point in time are being propped up by unsustainable systems now. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Now, we're not going to have time for mm-hmm. calls on this segment, but people are posting on our webpage, and we encourage you to do that. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and put a comment on the junk mail segment page. A couple that have come in. Somebody writes, "The do not mail effort looks good, but please bring up the idea of preemptive junk mail reduction, not merely reactive. The key is the preemptive tips. Never get on the list." And there are some preemptive tips given by this writer, who says, "Every time you initiate a commercial relationship, tell them, do not share my information with any related or third parties." Somebody else writes,
"It just doesn't always work, though. I mean, I don't know how my 10-year-old has started getting the mail. I know he has not signed up for things. He doesn't even have a credit card.
His name must have gotten out there somehow.
I don't know, but I think of all the 10-year-olds getting invited to join the Playboy Club. Last week, he got an invitation to Time Magazine. I love Time Magazine, but my 10-year-old doesn't need it."
And someone else wrote, "I would cut out the address portion, write on it, deceased. I'm sorry about this, but I don't know how else you get it out of their database." But Annabelle, mm-hmm. what about this post office angle?
Right.
Because a Washington Post report earlier this year said that the Postal Service has been working at a $1 billion operating deficit, largely because of reduced catalog delivery. And so if we want to preserve the unbelievable privilege of a 42-cent letter that we can send to anywhere in the country and have it be there in a day or a few days, is the junk mail industry, in effect, subsidizing something really valuable here?
It is, and that is the issue. I mean, I think this is what we're seeing, like I said, in so many areas. For instance, for my book, Fired, and my documentary film, I went to Detroit and I interviewed UAW workers. Now, there they are. They were building cars that people don't want to buy anymore because they're not good for the environment. Now, I don't want to see those people lose their jobs, but we have to transition them into making something that's actually sustainable. And we're facing the same thing with the post office. The post office is a venerated organization. Who wants to not get mail?
But
the problem is, as you know, right here in New York, we don't even have a landfill here. We export all of our garbage. We've run out of landfill space. So it just doesn't seem to make sense anymore that we are sending out all this mail that's just going to end up.
So Jerry from Direct Marketing, here's another post on the webpage that says, go ahead, raise the price of the stamp and eliminate junk mail. It is a waste of resources. I get way too much. It contributes to garbage. Why would you block the Federal Registry that just lets people voluntarily sign up for a do not mail list or not if they don't want to?
Well, the Postal Service is not like buying a car. People are used to delivery of mail 6 days a week. People are used to, this is what they expect. I mean, these are the complaints you receive, the Postal Service receives and mailers receive. I didn't receive stuff I wanted. Or they're used to having a post office down the street from where they live. All of that supported, like TV and radio, free radio, are supported by advertisement. All of it's supported by advertising. You're looking at a very different picture here. This is a service that the American public needs and wants, and we're going to run out of time
in about a minute, but are you saying that the post office would basically go out of business or not be able to provide the other services that it provides if there is a voluntary do not mail registry in the United States?
If you undermine one-third of the revenue of any organization, they're going to have to, and they've testified it before Congress, they're going to have to take a look at everything on the table.
Annabelle,
so this is very different.
Well, fair enough?
Fair enough, absolutely. I mean, this is the problem. The
You're
system
just saying
is
it's
broken.
Worth it.
I'm saying it's worth it. We have to actually think about, so many systems are broken in this country right now. Healthcare, the funding of healthcare, where we get our energy from. Just because we know we need fuel doesn't mean we need to, like, for instance, drill in the Arctic, which isn't going to give us results for 20 years. So, look, we have a lot of problems. I don't want to see the post office disappear. I don't have the solution, but I know it's all unsustainable to keep sending out this much junk mail.
By the way, Jerry, 15 seconds. How well does advertising mail really work? Is there a documented success rate?
Yes. The advertising mail adds an additional $686 billion in increased sales, additional sales every year. That's 686 billion reasons for the success.
Except that the post office is actually working at a deficit of $1 billion, so something must be wrong there.
There are nine million people employed.
Annabelle Gurwitch, host of Planet Green's Wasted, and Jerry Sirasol, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at the Direct Marketing Association. This debate goes on. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.